This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa is set to pummel Jamaica as a monster storm, the strongest to lash the island ever. ABC's Lionel Moise says it's expected to make landfall later today.
Melissa approaching as a Category 5 hurricane overnight with winds up to 175 miles per hour. Three deaths already reported before the worst of the storm hits. Video from Air Force hurricane hunters shows inside the eye of Melissa, the eye wall nearly vertical. The flight forced to turn back after hitting severe turbulence. A Miami-based hurricane researcher calling it the most turbulent he's ever seen.
Amazon has announced today it is laying off 14,000 employees. The company says it is profitable, but it's looking toward the future. Online learning platform Chegg will be laying off 388 roles, 45% of its global workforce, in a restructuring that the company says is due to artificial intelligence. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Healthcare providers are trying a new tactic to promote the healing effects of nature. They're actually writing prescriptions for it. Time in nature can lower blood pressure and reduce at least the perception of stress. Doctors recommending time outdoors isn't new, but hundreds of them over the last decade have taken to issuing formal prescriptions in hopes of getting people to follow through. The Better Business Bureau wants you to be aware of a phishing scam claiming to offer tax relief. Learn how the scam works, warning signs, and how to protect your personal info. You may receive a call or voicemail from someone claiming to be from a tax relief company, saying they're following up on back taxes or missed filings, and that this may be their only attempt to reach you. They provide a callback number and sometimes reference an account or partial phone number to make the message seem legitimate. The voicemail emphasizes immediate action, pressuring you to call before a supposed deadline to resolve tax issues, request penalty waivers, or enroll in relief programs. Even though the caller seems determined to help, returning the call could put your personal and financial information at risk. Scammers use urgency and official-sounding details to make the message convincing, often seeking Social Security numbers, bank account info, or other sensitive data. Verify the company's legitimacy. Contact the IRS or your tax professional directly if you receive a call about taxes you don't recognize. Never pay up front for tax relief services. Legitimate programs or certified tax professionals do not demand payment before providing assistance. Protect your personal information. Never provide Social Security numbers, bank account details, or other sensitive data to unsolicited callers. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Badgers basketball in the spotlight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college hoops. The Badgers men's basketball team getting ready to host Campbell University out of North Carolina next Monday night at the Kohl's Center. Wisconsin ranked 24th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, are the Badgers getting some national attention at the start?
Well, I think it's always been on the national radar. Whether you're ranked or not varies from year to year and varies within the year. I think this program is very well respected nationally. I think it's been extremely stable and extremely consistent over the last 25 plus years. So whether you get ranked right away, how high you get ranked, really that's irrelevant. You still have to go play the games.
Baseball game four of the World Series continues tonight in LA. The Dodgers winning last night over the Blue Jays 6-5 in a game that lasted 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run. The Dodgers Shohei Ohtani getting on base 9 times, a postseason record with 2 home runs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Real news, great conversation, right to your inbox. Subscribe to WRCE's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Richland Center.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 59 this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers likely. Our low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you're like me, you're an analog person living in a digital age. Join us next time. We'll talk about what skills will keep you employed in the age of AI and data centers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's nice to have you here up north on a Tuesday morning, October 28th, 7:06 the time right now. I'm here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2. A little under the weather, but fighting through it, man. And he's doing it without being powered by coffee. I'm happy to report the single-serving coffee maker did its trick. I did not flood the kitchen. I have an actual second cup of coffee.
Attaboy.
Yeah, see, little victories for folks who missed it an hour ago. I broke the coffee pot early this morning.
It happens. It happens sometimes.
Happy. So lucky to have the dual thing. I don't have any of the coffee pods, but was able to measure it just right with the regular ground coffee and got it. Actual, thank you, Tony. Yes, success. I will absolutely claim that. From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's clear, 33 degrees in Tigerton, a beautiful day yesterday. Spent some time doing yard work and said he watched the 18-inning World Series game that lasted 6 hours and 39 minutes and lasted until after 1 a.m. And he's still up with us on the radio this morning. Thank you, Rob.
Wow.
That was I didn't watch it. I woke up to news that game went until almost midnight out on the West Coast when Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning. I mean, so that was like two games in one. Does that mean the Dodgers are up 3-1 now? Can you count that as two wins?
Probably not. Wish. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to be sitting here telling you, the Brewers won an epic game, 18 innings, and they're up 3-0 on the verge of a sweep. But that's a fantasy land that, you know, that bubble burst for us a long time ago. So instead, we have to take what we've got here. And what we've got here is, I mean, an instant classic in terms of World Series games. I'm just glad I didn't have to sit up for that. That is impressive. And I would love to know, because I would love to have seen how many people hung around. It's a World Series game. Now, it's not a deciding game. I get that. But still, it's a World Series game. And so how many people were just like, no, it's the 14th inning. I got to go. Or it's the 15th inning. Or the people who are like in the 7th or 8th inning. Well, this is fun, but, you know, LA traffic. I got to beat it. I got to go home. You know,
I don't know. I bet there were a lot of people. From the clip I heard, it sounded a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep. There's your sports there. I wish it was happier news from a Brewer standpoint, but from a sports standpoint, that is mighty impressive stuff. There are still plenty of sports to talk about. The Milwaukee Bucks will be hosting the New York Knicks tonight. Then there's the Packers. They will be hosting the Carolina Panthers next Sunday. And again, don't be alarmed, but the Packer game is Sunday at noon. you know, when football used to be played regularly, no primetime game, no Thursday game, nothing like that. That's just straight up Packers and Panthers. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. There is also college men's basketball from the Badgers. The Badgers have a preseason game against UW-Platteville tomorrow at the Kohl Center. Coverage begins at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. And if you're familiar with Badger men's hockey on the radio, you know that it is over at WFHR in Hayward that they carry the Badger men's hockey team, and they will be playing against the Minnesota Gophers on Thursday. Coverage will begin at 7:30 on Thursday at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Go to WFHR.com for more sports programs, because they don't just have some Badger sports. They have lots of Badger, you know, talk shows. There's like the Greg Gard show and other shows that they have as well. So head over to WFHR for that. And then, of course, there's the second round of the high school football playoffs. And so those games will be on select Civic Media stations as well, I'm sure. So turn to your local Civic Media station to learn more. Did I mention the Badger football team? I didn't. How utterly unforgettable.
I do think they're off this week, though, to be fair.
You know what? I think you're right.
I think mercifully they're not playing.
That's, you know what? And that's why there wasn't a time, because you're right. It's actually not this weekend. It's the following weekend, November 8th at Camp Randall, when they are playing the University of Washington. So
that's so nice. That's TBD. So nice that they built in a nice little Urardi in the dumpster fire. Let's not burn you anymore. Let's let you cool off a little first.
Maybe it's called a mercy rule. You're getting an extra bye week just because we can't stand to watch you. Why don't you just take a little break?
They're really letting you gear up to play Washington.
Yeah.
I might win this one, so you get 2 weeks to prepare.
So, again, we try not to get too deep in the weeds on sports talk. Just enough for you to, like, engage in a conversation at work and sound a little bit like you know what's going on. So, LSU, Louisiana State University.
Oh, my.
Has been a bit. Oh, Parker's about to give us a hot take on this. LSU has been a football powerhouse for the longest time, and they fired their coach, Kelly. I don't remember
his first name.
Brian Kelly. That's it. And, you know, he's not a terrible coach, and that's not a terrible program, but down there it's like win or else. And he's only the latest in several high-profile football coaching firings in mid-season, which used to not be a thing. But now in this NIL era where players are getting paid, there's so much more money swirling around the system, so much more pressure to perform, that you have universities this year that have been firing coaches, owing them tens of millions of dollars and saying that that's less expensive than having a losing college football program. That's weird. There's too much money in there. That's all I got to say about that.
That is the problem with college sports, is that too much money is getting into it. On a lot of different levels. LSU, by the way, overall 5-3 this year. They're not
five and three.
Yeah.
And you fire a very expensive coach.
2-3 in conference. They're 11th place right now in the SEC. So like, I guess there's an argument there. I would argue Brian Kelly should never have been hired and probably should have been fired from Notre Dame and probably shouldn't be allowed to coach after he basically killed a kid at Notre Dame. But
well, there is all of that.
That's just my thoughts on Brian Kelly.
But there is a celebrity culture to coaching in the college football ranks, and he will end up somewhere else. I mean, that's just how the cycle works. Still, eventually he becomes a TV analyst or something like that. Now, not everybody is into college football, and some people are happy that the NBA season is underway. Alicia puts on YouTube, I will be watching Detroit Red Wings tonight. Hockey is my jam, which is great. Tonight, by the way, is one of those full schedule nights in the NHL, all 32 teams, 16 different hockey games to choose from tonight. There will be baseball tonight. And there was baseball last night. What do they call it? The sports solstice or something, where all four leagues are in action at the same time.
Yes. I think
there's only one or two days a year when that's the case.
It's a beautiful day. And I would wager that there is a Conference USA football game on tonight. So you could get a little sprinkle of college football in tonight too.
Yes. So the I said solstice. No, it's the sports equinox is what's going on tonight. But you get all the sports. This is if you're running like a sports bar or something, don't you like really play that up and say, come on in for our, you know, chicken wings and things like that? Tony says there's a word for it. It's magical. It's a magical sports day.
It is. It's a very big day. It's very important. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We were talking in terms of news headlines earlier about how the costs for health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act are about to skyrocket. And we're learning details of the extent to which that is going to happen. Again, Republicans shutting down the government to protect health insurance company profits. Now, I know there are people that disagree. There was a comment earlier that said something along the lines of, Pat, you have the stupidest take on everything. Health insurance companies only started making record profits after Obamacare was signed into law because it enabled health insurance companies to skyrocket prices since the government is paying the money. Well, that is an interesting take on how that all worked out. To say that insurance companies weren't making record profits before the Affordable Care Act came in is, again, a case of amnesia in history that continues to befuddle me. That folks have forgotten just how horrible it was before the Affordable Care Act, where you'd pay premiums of your hard-earned money all your life. You'd get sick and they'd say, oh, wait, you had a hangnail at the same time. Sorry. Thanks for paying your premiums, but the insurance doesn't cover that anymore. Instead, under the Affordable Care Act, it was, we're going to use your tax dollars to make your health insurance more affordable for everybody. And health insurance companies have to take you on. They can't deny you for pre-existing conditions. But as a result, they're also going to get more customers. And yeah, they're going to make more money, but they're going to have to play by a tighter set of rules. And at first, people were like, I'm not so sure about this. Now look at the polling for the Affordable Care Act. It's off the charts because people understand how much better life is compared to then. But it was not perfect. And should have been tinkered along the way. But rather than trying to make it better so that, again, health insurance is affordable for everybody and so that there aren't these junk plans out there, Republicans just kept trying to kill it. And now we're heading back to the days of junk plans. That's one where people go, hey, I never had a problem with health insurance. Well, you never needed it. Or if you did, it was for something kind of small. And yeah, the health insurance company paid out for that. But again, there were plenty of junk plans that seemed affordable until you actually had to use them. And so, again, there are ways that we could be making healthcare more affordable, and then there are ways we could be making healthcare more expensive. Guess which way Republican politicians chose? Now, again, for people thinking that I'm being too mean and negative to Republicans, I simply ask this. What's the plan? What's the plan? What's the alternative? I'm so damn sick of hearing repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? Repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? The market. We saw what the market did. The market took your money and then said, tough hop. When you said, I've got this diagnosis and it's time for my health insurance to work. These are the things we could be doing. But here's what's happening instead. In the state of Wisconsin, if you are 60 years old, if you're a couple and your income is about $85,000 a year and you live in La Crosse County, you are currently paying $606 a month for a silver plan. I mean, that's still, you know, that's not a small chunk of change. You're hanging on. You got five more years till Medicare and Social Security check, kick in. $600 a month, 606 to be specific. Starting Saturday, that same policy is going to cost $2,698. Do you have an extra $2,100 a month lying around? Because that's an extra $25,100 a year. If you're just a 26-year-old, and maybe you've seen that there's, you know, cancer in the family or something like that, so you don't want to think, you're not young and bulletproof, you know you need coverage, okay? You're in Eau Claire County. You've been getting a silver plan policy for $219 a month. Starting Saturday, it goes up to $386 a month. That's $2,000 a year. As a 26-year-old making $48,000 a year, do you have an extra $2,000 lying around? No, you don't. So if Republicans don't like the way the benefits are set up right now, they could certainly work with Democrats to come up with something more affordable, but they're not choosing that. They're choosing simply to let insurance companies jack these rates back up and let people flounder without any coverage, take a chance, and risk more medical bankruptcy. Where is the public service in that? We're going to be talking about the shutdown impact on national parks and the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines. And it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant. But environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
On our morning show today from WRCO, Hillary Burns Kite is joining us by phone line, and we are just real near the Bev's Walk coming up here, which Hillary, I understand this is the third annual event. How can that be?
Yeah, I'm excited that people have, you know, wanted to come out the last couple of years, and the past 2 years, I think Passages has been kind of the lead on organizing it, and with the thought that when we were ready as a family to kind of take that over, then that would be passed along to us. So I'm kind of the main person for that now, and so it's been a good process to be a part of, and just kind of fun gathering ideas and putting the thought behind it and working with other partners who worked with my mom, and just kind of remembering a way to remember her in the community and keep her name out there. And we're just really thankful for those who have shown interest and are still supporting.
I know many people remember your mom, Hillary, but for those that don't, maybe you can explain, the Grateful Scholarship you're working for and some of those topics.
Yeah, so my mom is Beverly Pittman Burns, and she worked for Passages for, I believe, 20 years or over 20 years, and was really passionate about and had a heart for that for that ministry, for that work. I think for her, it probably really was, you know, a vocation and a calling. It's a way that she lived out her faith and was a witness about her faith in that vocation. So there's a scholarship that was started in her memory, and that is being given out yearly to, as long as the funds are available, to a graduating high school senior from RCHS. And it's based on need and with the preference of, so we're looking for those who are going into the field of social work or human services, public health or education, to kind of encourage people, young people, to say that this is really a field of need, and always will be, and encourage people who are thinking of going into that and wanting to help and support them in that endeavor.
The third annual Bev's Walk is going on coming up Saturday, November 1st. And maybe you could explain, Hillary, the location's going to be a little different this year, isn't it?
Yeah. The past couple of years it's been at the park. It'll still be at Crosco Park. It's been at the shelter that is right the closest to where the Rotary Lights path is. And I kind of, we're feeling that that was sort of tucked back in there. And so we wanted to bring it out and have it more, a little more visible. And then it would also be at the shelter that's next to the tree that was planted in honor of my mom. They planted that tree in a spot where she often ate lunch. And so it's at the park that's just right before you go over the walking path to get to the Rotary Lights. So that park that you pass on the right with, I think people know it for the red play equipment, and it's right across from the pool and stuff there, the Earl Anderson Shelter.
And how long is the walk then?
Well, we'll kick things off and have a welcome at 10. And then I think that we'll plan on starting the walk around 10:15 or 10:20. And so anyone who is gathered at that time will, you know, start on the route together, and we'll be taking the walking path through the park to go to end up at the old community center. And then we'll go up Seminary Street to the courthouse. And then there's that bench that was placed there with my mom's name on it. And then from there, we would head back to Crosco Park. And when people arrive at the beginning of the event, or when we get back from the walk, from the main walk, people would be welcome to sign up for a shuttle that would take them out to the labyrinth that that my family and friends have helped me to make in honor of my mom. And they could take kind of a more introspective, meditative time to walk on that labyrinth in small groups. We would have shuttle vehicles available to help facilitate that for the second portion of the walk time, so from around 11:30 to 12:30.
Why a labyrinth?
Why a labyrinth? My mom really felt called to labyrinths, to do labyrinths as a spiritual practice. A labyrinth is a type of a maze, and traditionally it only has one entry point. So, you know, when you're sitting there and doing a maze, you know, on a placemat or in a activity book, that it, you're starting at one point and trying to find the end. But in a labyrinth, you start and you work your way to the middle, it winds around to the middle. And then once you're in the middle, you can sit and meditate or have a time of prayer, reflecting on that walk, and then you work your way back out the same way that you came in. So it's a type of spiritual practice for contemplative prayer.
Well, that's awesome. We hope a lot of people will do that. And you will have some items for purchase, I understand, Hillary.
Yeah, the last couple of years has been an online store, and we did have that this year also. So the time to submit those orders, those online orders, has passed, but there will be some items, the hats and the long sleeve t-shirt, a few of those available for purchase at the walk. So it's kind of a commemorative item for people to have, but also a portion of those purchases does go towards the the scholarship, the Grateful Scholarship Fund.
And I know your mom was passionate about passages, too. Will some of the money be earmarked for passages?
Yeah. Any single donation, $25 or above, $5 of that will go towards passages.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WRCE's News Roundup in podcast form. Go to WRCE.fm to subscribe.
Smart Swaps. It's a new initiative from the dairy industry to try to help school lunch programs move their way through regulation. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The effort spearheaded by the National Dairy Council. They want to help with the challenges that school nutrition professionals face trying to meet evolving USDA school meal standards. Katie Bombach is the Vice President of School Nutrition for the National Dairy Council. She said some of the unique flavors and blends they've developed are being tested on students. And she says students don't have a filter.
Some fun examples include a few cool or portable options like apple pie overnight oats. There's a strawberry pancake yogurt parfait and a frozen yogurt bark. Because they're wonderfully honest, there's no filter. A few of our favorite comments from students included, quote, put this on our school meals with an exclamation point, and then it tasted really good, 10 out of 10. But it was a great reminder that taste testing is essential. What sounds good on paper doesn't always resonate or land with students.
Katie Bombach with the National Dairy Council says that they enlisted the help of about 2,500 students across the region to do a little taste testing on their recipes. They're now up to about 25 new or updated standardized dairy recipes as part of their smart swaps, helping the school lunch program. Markets are next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
The Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier agribusiness industry event, drawing interest and participation from all segments of the industry throughout the Midwestern states. Mark January 13th and 14th down on your calendar to be at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Wisconsin Dells. The depth of coverage and exhibits provided during the conference makes it clear why the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier industry event. For more information or to register, visit wiagribusiness.org.
On Monday, barrel cheese was up 2.5 at 179.5. 40-pound block cheese gained 2.25 at 180, but AA butter drifted 0.25 lower to $1.60 a pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a penny this morning, $17.90. December corn is currently 2 cents stronger at $4.31. November beans are up 11, $10.79. July wheat right now up 3.5 at $5.68 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yonke.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WRCE is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WRCE.fm.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 59 this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers likely. Our low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
But well, you can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different, and I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back at 7:35 on a Tuesday morning, October 28th. Nice to have you along. Hey, get signed up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. Included in today's edition is a link to my story about the Trump administration giving a big old no to Wisconsin for some of the disaster relief that was applied for following massive flash flooding in August in southeast Wisconsin, where some places got more than a foot of rain, and there was all kinds of damage done to houses, and so individual disaster relief had been approved. But the Trump administration rejected Wisconsin's application on behalf of six counties for infrastructure damage that was caused to public buildings and roads and bridges and things like that. And you might say, well, that's fine. I mean, as long as the individuals got their disaster relief for their homes, who cares about the infrastructure stuff? Well, it's still got to be fixed, which means that instead of it being, helped, instead of some of it being paid for in part by the federal government, it means it's all going to fall on local taxpayers or state and local taxpayers, as the case may be. So you can read more about that in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, time to go way up north, as we do this time every other Tuesday. And this time around, we're getting to know our friend Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands to talk about the government shutdown and its impact on our national parks. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Always good to be here. I wish we'd have some good news on national parks some morning.
I really, we're going to get there again. But right now we've been dealt this hand, which deals with a government shutdown and letting people know of the impact, you know, here in Wisconsin and beyond. So I guess the best way just to start is to ask from a general standpoint, as you look at things across the country, how are our national parks faring during the shutdown so far?
Our national parks are a very diverse collection of landscapes, as you know, from mountaintops to deep canyons, from seashores to, you know, deserts. And so it's not surprising, I don't think, that the impact of the shutdown is hitting different parks in different ways. And it didn't help so much that the Department of Interior sent out kind of a confusing contingency plan for parks literally only hours before the shutdown. And in that contingency plan, it told parks that while the National Park Service will be conducting no park operations and offering no visitor services, the outdoor areas, trails, exhibits, and overlooks will remain generally accessible to visitors. So in other words, most of the buildings in national parks are closed, visitor centers, museums, that sort of thing. You can still maybe get to the trails. Bathrooms may be locked, trash pickup may not be happening. In some parks, it's become really a free-for-all because of the lack of emergency services and search and rescue. In one park, an American flag was hung upside down in the distress symbol of our national parks. So it's not a good situation in our parks right now.
No, I mean, and it leads not only to maybe trash piling up and programs not being run, but, you know, safety concerns and also concerns about damage. Have there been any reports of damage with the, you know, the lack of rangers in the parks?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, you have to put it in perspective that some 9,000 National Park Service employees have been laid off. These are often the frontline people that would be out there keeping an eye on things. So there's examples like squatters coming into national park campgrounds, ignoring the time limits and just setting up home. There's illegal base jumping going on in Yosemite, some off-roading situations in various national parks. And the situation is expected only to get worse. During the last extended shutdown, there were things like rock art panels that were vandalized at Big Bend. Joshua trees were toppled in that park. You know, our parks don't run themselves. Leaving the gates open with no rangers inside is a very strange way to run a business. When you think about it, the National Zoo is closed. The Smithsonian Institute museums are closed, the Air and Space Museum. And when you would ask why, they would probably say, well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources. Well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources of our national parks either. And that's a situation that could lead to disaster.
That is such a perfect way of looking at it. I mean, you wouldn't leave the museums and things open and say, well, we just trust you to be good with the paintings and you know, not let the trash cans overflow. So has it led to any kind of formal call to close up some of these parks so that they stay protected?
You know, it's a difficult decision. Everybody understands that. People love our national parks. They're economic engines. Even this time of year, some parks like Shenandoah National Park, the Great Smokies and others, they get up to 25% of their visitation in October because people coming to check out the beautiful fall colors. So it's a very difficult decision. But most people in the field say they should be closed when there aren't rangers. There was recently a group of 40 national park former superintendents and directors who sent a letter to the Secretary of Interior asking that the parks be shut down, and another letter by 450 former rangers saying that this can't go on. The parks are too fragile without the folks who are hired to take care of the parks inside of them. Our parks simply won't run themselves, and some of the parks have shut down. The iconic Carlsbad Caverns National Park, the caves there are protected, Muir Woods, White Sands, they're pretty much shut down. But in the meantime, others remain open and therefore vulnerable.
So let's take it a little closer to home, and we're talking to Jeff Renneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands, and let's talk about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore up north here. And again, it's maybe not an apples to apples comparison with some of our national parks, but I have a feeling the shutdown still has impact, even at a place like that, that is a little more, you know, seasonal in its operations. What's happening up there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, our park is very seasonal. So if you were to come here as a visitor right now, you would find the visitor center in Bayfield closed, the visitor center at Little Sand Bay closed, but then they always close. It wasn't because of the shutdown. It was because of the seasonal nature of visitation. But that doesn't mean that things are fine in the park. Think of all the things that go on behind the scenes in that visitor center. There's no park planning going on. There's no staff training. There's no hiring going on. There's no cataloging of artifacts. There's no continuing wildlife research. There's an awful lot that happens at our parks that people don't see to make them run as smoothly as they do when there are a lot of visitors there. So just because a park isn't necessarily looking a lot different doesn't mean that there's not damage going on behind the scenes. We need to get our parks open and funded or close them down.
Now, Jeff, there's a website, friendsoftheapostleislands.org, and you recently wrote a story for the website about the government shutdown and the things that you might or might not see at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. And you address the construction of a Myers Beach accessible walkway project. What is happening with that?
Yeah, that's another good example. So Friends of the Apostle Islands, with the help of more than 500 donors and sponsors, raised almost $800,000 to be part of our commitment to help the park be more accessible to all. And so we got approval to replace the 45-step stairway down to the popular Myers Beach kayak launch with a all-accessible ramp. It's all paid for. It's all ready to go. All we need is a rubber stamp from the Park Service. Unfortunately, the Park Service is closed, and so that rubber stamp won't happen until it reopens. And up here, we have a very short construction season. So every day that goes by may limit our ability to get that done in one season. So things don't stand still just because the park is closed.
So you'd want it to start this next spring and finish it by next fall. And
that would be the plan. Yeah. That's not going to happen if we can't get it out to contractors for bids and have them poised to go this, as soon as the weather is decent.
Yeah. Again, like in all these things that Jeff is pointing out, there are plenty of things that happen behind the scenes that aren't going on right now as well. There's also the case where, again, because there's no staffing and people are still going into these areas, you know, they're not paying the fees that they would normally pay. But there are some folks that still understand that without the fees, there won't be support for the upkeep, for the programs, for the maintenance and everything else. So are there still ways that people could pay fees voluntarily if they choose to use or visit some parks?
Many parks do have internet accessible scanning of a QR code to pay, and we would urge people to do that. You can make a donation to groups like friendsoftheapostleislands.org, which might be equal to your entrance fee, to help us support the parks. And almost every park in the country has a friends group like ours. So there's still a way to love your parks and help your parks, even if you're not paying those entrance fees. And remember that that's losing money for the park. 80% of that money stays in the park that you're visiting. The other 20% is spread out to parks like the Apostle Islands that don't have an entrance fee. So when you don't pay your entrance fee, it hurts not only the park you're visiting, but all of our national parks. So let's all help each other by making contributions in any way we can.
And can that still be done through the usual website, recreation.gov?
That can be. Campsite fees are usually paid through recreation.gov. Each park, as I mentioned, is unique and different. Look for a QR code or look for a Friends of group and see if you make a donation that way.
Okay. I'm sure you mentioned earlier search and rescue operations, not even just the operations, but the training. Are emergency services being impacted by the shutdown?
Well, and also communication. You know, one of the biggest things about staying safe in our national park is understanding what the threats are, what the weather is going to be, when it's safe to go to someplace, when someplace might be closed. But the irony is, at the time when park visitors need communication the most, the entire communication staff of our parks has also been furloughed. And so there's no one to ask, is it safe to go here? If I need help, who do I contact? Are the campgrounds open? It's just radio silence from our national parks, and that puts everyone in danger.
Yeah, and Jeff has talked about earlier, again, some of the other things that aren't being done, like school programs, interpretive program preparations, cataloging of historical artifacts. But there are things that, you know, you can do to be helpful. And I took note of one that you said here, supporting local businesses. Even if you can't or don't normally go into one of these areas, those local businesses would still appreciate some visitors.
Oh, absolutely. Most national park units are economic engines. People come here and they spend money. They buy gas on the way here. They stay at hotels. They eat at restaurants. They visit gift shops. Without those visitors coming in, many of these national park related businesses have a difficult time. It's a huge audience. Our National Park Service budget here for our lakeshore is about $3.4 million. And yet we return some $29 million to the local economy. And so it's a real engine for our local businesses. So come up here, enjoy Bayfield, enjoy the National Lakeshore parts that are open, do that responsibly, do that safely, come here prepared to be self-sufficient, practice low impact camping and leave no trace principles, and go visit some of the local shop owners. They will really appreciate it.
And learn more at friendsoftheapostleislands.org. Jeff Reinecke, thank you so much. Appreciate the update.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Have a great day. And coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C. from Courier Newsroom, and then Ruth Khanna from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on.
But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word?
Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature.
Pecan. My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. State lawmakers proposed legislation that would take away the ability of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection to raise fees on animal markets, dealers, and truckers. Farmer and State Representative Tranel says DATCAP's proposed fees go up as much as 1,700%, calling that unreasonable and unsustainable. The Cuba City Republican says feedback has been loud and overwhelming and that all of those fees are going to get passed on to producers. Tranel says putting the current fees into the state statutes would mean unelected bureaucrats could not increase them using administrative rules. He notes the state Supreme Court recently took away the legislature's power to oversee agency rules, but the legislature can take a vote and say whether or not they think this is an appropriate time to increase fees by this astronomical amount. Tranel notes the fees come on top of President Donald Trump's plan to buy beef from Argentina, which adds more uncertainty to the market. He's had discussions with Ag Secretary Randy Romanski and is hopeful a more reasonable solution can be reached. With the changing season comes increased activity from deer and a greater risk for car versus deer crashes. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Division of Wisconsin State Patrol, urges drivers to stay alert with more deer on the move during the fall rut or mating season. This is the time of year when we typically see the most crashes involving deer, said Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan. As the hours of daylight become shorter and more deer are crossing the highways, drivers should be especially cautious and scan the road ahead to prevent dangerous crashes. There were more than 17,000 crashes involving deer in Wisconsin in 2024, killing 9 people and injuring 707. More than one-third of those crashes happened in October and November. To avoid hitting a deer, remember, deer are unpredictable and may suddenly freeze or change directions. Drive at a safe speed, eliminate distractions, and make sure everyone is buckled up. Crash injuries are less severe or can be avoided when everyone wears a seatbelt. Carefully scan the road ahead. If one deer crosses, watch for more. If you see a deer, honk your horn to encourage them to move away from the road. If you cannot avoid hitting a deer with your vehicle, brake firmly and stay in your lane. Avoid sudden swerving, which can result in a loss of control and a more serious crash. Most deer crashes happen in the early morning and evening hours. Be sure to use your headlights as daylight transitions to dusk and deer become more difficult to see. Motorcyclists are at greater risk of injury in a crash involving deer. Of the deer crashes in 2024, 221 involved a motorcycle, resulting in 7 fatalities and 87 serious injuries. 42% of all motorcycle deer crashes result in a fatality or serious injury, compared to less than 0.1% chance in an auto or light truck deer crash. If you can't avoid hitting a deer with your motorcycle and there is enough space to swerve around it without leaving your lane, brake and adjust course as needed. If you hit a deer, get your vehicle safely off the road as soon as possible. If someone is hurt or the deer is in the active portion of the road, call 911. If no one is hurt and your vehicle and the deer are off the road, contact local law enforcement. Stay buckled up inside your vehicle and wait for help. Getting out of your vehicle and walking along a road is always dangerous. And never attempt to move an injured deer. With the high cost of medical and hospital expenses, it is good to have health care coverage. Military veterans are able to have good coverage with a VA health care plan. It can be used at VA facilities like the Madison VA Medical Center, and it is beneficial to have. Karen Knock is the Veterans Service Officer at the Richland County Veterans Services Office.
We have veterans that come in and they say, well, I'm enrolled in TRICARE, or, oh no, my wife has really good health insurance, so I don't need the VA. Well, there's benefits that you can get just from being enrolled. That is one of the best parts about the VA, is you can use it as much or as little as you want. So we have veterans that go down there 4 times a month, and we have veterans that go down there once every 2 years for a physical. You can use it as much or as little as you want. But if something were to happen and the veteran were to pass away, there's additional benefits that the family could be eligible for, such as a funeral bill reimbursement, just because that veteran is enrolled, even if they never use the VA.
If a veteran with a VA medical plan wants to continue seeing a local physician, they could be accommodated.
A lot of people say, well, I don't want to drive to Madison. I want to stay at my local doctor. Well, we're rural veterans, and so we're eligible for something that's called the community care. And what that does is the VA understands that the distance is going to be a hardship for veterans, and so they allow veterans to see their local doctors, and the VA will pay for it.
Knox says that if veterans have a health insurance policy, they can still use the VA health care plan.
The VA is not a health insurance policy. It's health care. Usually, Medicare and VA work very well together. And then as far as like other insurance policies, if they have co-pays for like a prescription or something like that, the VA has been pretty good. I have heard very, very few complaints. They work very well with insurance policies.
Some veterans may qualify for other coverage as well.
If you're 100% service-connected disabled, then there is dental. Vision, audio, those are included. But Delta Dental offers policies for veterans specifically.
Karen Knock urges military veterans to apply for a VA health care plan.
Even if you don't think you'll ever use it, still, it's there in case something happens. What happens when your wife retires? It's always, you know, sooner the better, obviously. I meet so many veterans that are in their 80s and they'll say, man, I should have done this 50 years ago. And I say, yes, yes, you should have.
If you would like to discuss or apply for VA health care as well as other veterans' benefits, you can contact the Richland County Veterans Services Office and set up an appointment by calling 608-647-6101. The office is located on the second floor of the Richland County Courthouse building. Hours are 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. Richland Center High School choirs will present a fall concert Tuesday at 7:30 in the high school auditorium. There are 30 freshman singers this year and 86 upperclassmen. The evening will include a mixture of old standards and new treasures. Cost of admission is $5. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa getting ready to pummel Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, the strongest to hit the island since record-keeping began more than 170 years ago. On day 28 of the federal government shutdown and with food assistance benefits about to run out for around 40 million Americans, some are getting desperate.
Food pantries even popping up at airports across the country to help struggling TSA agents and air traffic controllers forced to work without pay. Nearly 11,000 air traffic controllers like Peter Lefevre missing their first full paycheck.
The prospect of going another pay period without pay is weighing on the minds of myself and all the people that I work with.
Pay stubs obtained by ABC News showing $0.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Amazon has announced 14,000 corporate layoffs. Company says it's doing well, but has to look toward the future and the opportunities opened up by the development of AI.